Hi, I'm Reverend Norm Seelye. Welcome to a Jubilee Sunday Worship Podcast. What you are about to hear is this week's Sunday service edited to fit an all audio experience. You can support Jubilee United Church through the Canada Helps website, www.canadahelps.ca. Just search Jubilee United Church. And there's also a link on the Jubilee website. You can also access a full video of this service on our website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And now, without further ado, welcome to worship. Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. And then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, come, you are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." And then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? When was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are the members of my family, you did it to me." And then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me." They also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" And then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, broken hearts, healing hearts, joyous hearts, troubled hearts, may the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word. For in your word is hope. In your word is abundant life. Amen. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats at the left.
And the king will say to those at his right hand, come, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And so begins the observance that is often called Christ the King Sunday. Or in an attempt to be more inclusive and less patriarchal, the Reign of Christ Sunday. It's the end of the church year. Here it is, year end. Big celebration. Oh, such a celebration. Lots of hymns in major keys. But it is problematical. You know? Well, you say, what's the problem with Christ the King? And as long as we're at it, why can't we sing Onward Christian Soldiers anymore? Well, because the world moves on, and that's okay. The world changes, and sometimes that's okay too. And I know that we have a king, you and I, at least those of us living in Canada, King Charles III. And most of us in Canada and the Commonwealth, well, gosh, if you're my age, you know, we've only known Queen Elizabeth II as our monarch. But times change, and now it turns out that men can be monarchs as well. We don't call them queens, we call them kings. But is Charles the one to whom we should be comparing Jesus? I mean, His Majesty Charles III is the titular head of the Church of England, just as today we acknowledge that Jesus is the head of our church. But with King Charles, well, he is the titular head, which means he's a figurehead. He doesn't really get involved in the practice or the real life of the church. And for some, I suppose, Jesus is kind of the same. A titular head who's not really involved in the practice or real life of the church or the people. Yeah. But for others, Jesus is much more than a king. My Jesus is with me when I'm broken. I don't know about Charles. My Jesus challenges me when I'm arrogant. My Jesus weeps with every life lost. My Jesus hungers with every empty belly. My Jesus moves me to care. My Jesus inspires me to live a fuller life. No, my Jesus demands that I live a fuller life. Yeah, my Jesus makes the impossible possible. I don't know about Charles. My Jesus teaches me to love the unlovable and shows me my true worth and keeps me open to others. No, my Jesus is not a figurehead. My Jesus is ultimate reality. Now, there was a time when the king was the kingdom, okay? I mean, you didn't live in England. You lived in King George's England, right? Or you were part of the Victorian age or the Ming Dynasty. Today, today, perhaps we live in the time of COVID, I guess. Do we still? I'm not sure. Or perhaps we live in the time of excess or the time of environmental crisis. We live in the age of technology. So many things vying to define our age, our time and place. I kind of wish for a monarch to define our age, don't you? There was a time when calling Christ the King, that was a subversive statement. When you called Christ the King, well, I mean, everybody knew that Caesar Augustus was emperor, followed by Tiberius, followed by Caligula. That went so well. But imagine what the world would be like if the empire or the world was run by Jesus instead. That's the subversive statement, right? Not that Jesus would be king, but what if Jesus were king? How would we do things differently? Yes, we may be ruled by Richard the Lionhearted, but actually we follow Jesus the Open-Hearted. How would that change the world? It was subversive. It was critical. It was a subtle political statement. But in 2023, I don't know, it seems that statement might be lost. And truth be told, in this day and age, most of us have no time for symbols of ultimate authority. No. We're really not very keen on ultimate authority, or any authority for that matter. I mean, just think about sort of, you know, anti-maskers or anti-vaxxers or anti-government, right? Or anti-political correctness. Can't say anything anymore. Like, there's so much resistance to any kind of authority, no matter how wise or correct it might be. No. Don't tell me what to think. Don't tell me what to do. How dare you? Whatever authority you put up there, there will be those who resist it. And not necessarily on its merits, but just simply because we don't like to be told what to do, what to say, what to think. And by the way, that is the truth. And if you disagree with me, well, you've just made my point, haven't you? Actually, if you disagree with me, you've probably never had kids or parents. Yeah. So, you know what? Enough of Christ the King, or reign of Christ, whatever. And the threat of being separated from, I don't know, sheep and goats, that doesn't really compel our compliance, does it? Do you care if you're a sheep or a goat? I mean, it's... But here's the thing. If you have a little time, and I know you're busy, okay? But there is much to be learned from this passage. I really think there is. If you have a moment sometime, you might want to consider, well, never mind all the king language, all right? And separating sheep from goats. Okay, we'll leave that for another time, perhaps. In the heart of this reading is something that I think you actually do need to hear. This passage in Matthew's gospel is Jesus' last teaching before the events of Easter begin. I know it's not quite seasonal, but that's what it is. I mean, Jesus is coming, well, to the end of that ministry of sharing words and ideas. And so Jesus wants this to be known. It's rather like his final word. And so I think it does deserve attention. So let's pay attention. And what I hear is that if you want to be closer to Jesus, if you want to engage the divine, if you really want a life that is different from the one that you have, you know, one with greater vitality, one with real peace, true hope, actual deep satisfaction, right? If you want different powers in your life, then engage Jesus. And he tells you how. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Do you want to know God? Do you want to feel connected to more than, you know, Zoom and binge watching television? Do you want the satisfaction that comes with making a difference? Do you want to feel peace? Then feed the hungry. And welcome the stranger. Clothe the naked. Care for the sick. Visit the prisoner. This Jesus King isn't a king like any other king. He doesn't live in a palace or a fort in the middle of the kingdom. He lives out in the margins where people are hungry and naked. He lives with the people who are diseased and oppressed. He lives with the outsiders. You want to meet him? Go there. That's where you go. Oh, I know, but I send clothes to Goodwill. You know, when I send money to World Vision, and you know, and I went to the hospital to visit my brother, and I invited, you know, weird Uncle Martin to Christmas last year. So I don't think, you know, I really need any of that. I've done it all, but I don't feel at peace. I don't feel satisfied. I don't feel connected to Jesus. I don't think it works. I know what you think, and I don't know what you feel, because I'm not unlike you. I get it. The thing is, I've come to understand, it's not like a combination lock where you hit a couple of numbers and then boom, everything is revealed, unlocked. No, it's a discipline. It's a habit. It's a way of living. A practice more than an accomplishment, okay? What Jesus is offering here is an invitation to refocus your life away from the celebrity to the stranger, away from the gathering of money to clothing the naked, from assuring your own health by, you know, taking all the right vitamins and working out at the gym day after day to actually caring for the sick. It's not a condemnation of being healthy or making money or reading People magazine. It's not that. But it is an invitation to try another king. To be under the authority or sway of another. One who will actually offer you peace and joy and satisfaction. Yeah, but I don't know any starving people. And frankly, I try to stay out of the margins. It's kind of dangerous there. I know. But go and meet some. Safely. Provide food for the food bank. Or make a meal. And send it to a friend if you're not sure about taking it yourself. You know? Get to know the issues that confront the community around food security, like what really is going on, not in your home, but in your neighbor's homes. Become an advocate. And note, it didn't say feed the starving. It said feed the hungry. Okay? When I hear that, I think about, well, opening up our lives to those who need what we have. Things like understanding and forgiveness. You and I both know there are people starving for attention. And the world is far more interested in serving judgment. Who do you know that's eating alone? Call them. Call them on the phone. Eat alone together if you're not quite sure. Start there. It works, you know. Yeah, I don't know about welcoming the stranger. The world's pretty dangerous these days, and you know. And what about COVID, Norm? It's not gone. I know. It's true. COVID's not gone. And it's harder to engage safely with strangers these days. I know it is. I listen to the news. I know what's going on around me. It is harder. It is scarier. But why not take a little time to learn about some folks about whom you know very little? Learn about them. Do a little research. We can do everything online now, right? We can have conversations. We can learn safely from a distance. And then and then when we actually get to meet people, well, it's easier to approach them. And until we meet them, at least the stranger becomes less strange as we begin to understand where they come from, what they're hoping for, how does it all work? Do you really want to understand what's going on with Indigenous folk in Canada? Do a little reading, a little research, take a little time. That's how you begin to welcome the stranger. You think about people who have just come to Canada, whether they are refugees from war or just people looking for opportunity. Learn a little bit about them. How do they connect when they come to your city, to your town? How do they create community? Who do they know? How do they come to be here? Learn a little bit about them. And they become less strange. And then when it comes time to meet them, when we have the opportunity in person, well, it's easier. And we have something to talk about. Why not learn about some folks who are different than you?
Yeah, I can do that. I don't know about clothing the naked. I mean, I do give used clothes and stuff.
Yeah, I know. I remember a night, it was some time ago, but I was addressing a fair number of people. It was a pretty good sized crowd, very, very official. I was dressed very much like a minister. Well, as much like a minister as I could muster. You know, I'm not really all that ministry, but I did my best, doing my best not to embarrass Jubilee or myself. And I was doing a pretty good job, frankly. I liked what I said. I liked the way it was received. I felt, I'd say proud, but the truth is I actually felt full of myself. I felt full of myself because I had spoken well and I could see the response. And yeah, I was taking a break and ready to go out and speak again because the opportunity was coming. That's the way the event was arranged. And then a friend approached me and said, Norm, or only a friend would actually tell you this, but your fly's open. That person took a moment to clothe my nakedness. All right? And by that I mean to save my dignity. How many people do you know that feel vulnerable? How many people do you know whose dignity is at risk? At least it sure feels that way to them. Well, you know what? Clothe them. Offer them advice. Give them respect. Let them clothe themselves in some kind of dignity. We can do that. Care for the sick. Okay, Norm, we get that one. Care for the sick. It's pretty obvious. But do we really get it? Do we? Because you know what? It might mean more than taking soup over to a neighbor. Not that I'm knocking taking soup to a neighbor. That's a brilliant thing to do. But it also might mean understanding that depression isn't just about somebody having a bad day. It's about understanding that recovery takes time. For some, healing from an injury or an illness might mean changing a whole life. But in that understanding, in that willingness to be a companion through change, well, that just might lead to a sense of peace and fulfillment for you both. It just might lead to an encounter with the divine. Visit the prisoner. Okay. I mean, Norm, I know some people who do that, okay, but what would I say to a complete stranger, you know, especially a criminal? What am I supposed to say to a criminal? You know, and I've heard some people say that, you know, Jesus is actually talking about political prisoners, not the criminal kinds, you know, and that we should visit them and give them hope. Yeah, I've heard that too, but I'm not sure that that's all there is to it. I mean, I think that Jesus is talking about convicts, criminals, as well as prisoners of conscience. Do you think that there's any rehabilitation for those who are isolated from the world? You think there's much hope for someone actually changing direction in their life if the only faces they ever see is their jailer? Do you think they've got a shot? I mean, even if you don't go to a detention center, I'll bet you do know some prisoners. People trapped in bad relationships. People oppressed by life. Locked up in bad habits. And usually, I know, we mind our own business, okay? It's the polite thing to do. Well, whatever, just let them be. And so we don't call our friends who are in bad relationships. We avoid our friends who are addicted and just not wanting to get out of that cycle. We avoid them. We leave them in their prisons. We leave them in their isolation and in their jail. But the thing is, we actually can visit them. We don't have to visit them with judgment. We can just visit them. Let them know that we love them. We can still call. We can be friends. Our presence can be a reminder to these prisoners that they're not alone. There is an outside world and they can be part of it. And that they are not without resources when it's time to make a change. When it's time to break out. You'd be amazed at the number of people who have come out of a cycle of addiction or abuse or a bad relationship by calling a friend at 3 o'clock in the morning and saying, "It's time. Could you drive me somewhere?" They're not going to call if they don't know they can rely on you. Visit the prisoner. You might become the lifeline they need. Yeah, so maybe, you know, like many, this celebration of Christ the King doesn't really speak to you. I got it. No problem. But please don't miss the real meaning of the words hidden amongst the patriarchy and the regal fetishism. Yes, I just used the term regal fetishism. Jesus reminds us that the ones that the world has rejected are the very ones to whom he is drawn. So you want to meet Jesus? I know where and how he's spending his time. And if you've been listening, so do you. Thanks be to God. Let us pray.
Loving God, reigning God, embracing God, we pray. We pray and we come to you asking that we might be defined by your character, by your love, that we might be engaged by your Son, and that we might see you in the world and in our lives. We give thanks, God, for the glimpses of you that attract and sustain us. Sunny days that break up the gray. Friends who understand that the gray is not just in the sky, but sometimes in our hearts and our minds. Oh God, we give thanks for the ones who are patient with us, the ones who can support us, the ones who can love us. We give thanks for all the people running around trying to make Christmas happen. Those who are striving for peace. Those who work to feed the hungry and create a world where nobody is without shelter or home. We give thanks, God, for the hope workers. The ones who not only give us hope, but nurture hope all around. We give thanks for the simple joys of life, the laughter, the contented sigh, the peaceful moment that comes just as we fall asleep unafraid. And God, we ask to know you better, to see you more clearly, to love you more dearly, and follow you more often. And so, God, we pray for the hungry and the thirsty. Not just that they might have nourishment, but that they might be known to us, and they might know us as well. Not anonymous faces who approach us looking for change, but human beings, siblings with stories and hopes and dreams, with relationships and lives. Let us know each other that way. And God, we pray for the stranger looking for a new home because the old home is gone, lost to changing economics or war, climate disaster, or just mistakes made and regretted. We pray for the naked, the vulnerable, and the defenseless. We pray for those whose dignity has been snatched away by biased systems, by popular culture, vengeful adversaries, or general indifference. Love them, God. Clothe them in love. And let us not be indifferent, but rather inspire us to be active in respecting and nurturing, supporting those who are vulnerable. God, we pray for the sick, the injured, those whose bodies need healing, those whose minds need wholeness. May they be restored and revitalized. And God, we pray for the prisoners. May there be redemption and release. Hostage or criminal, lost or addicted, you do not care. You love all of your children. Oh God, help us to love like you do. Help us to love them as well. And God, we acknowledge that we ourselves are hungry and thirsty, estranged and even naked. So often we feel both vulnerable and alone. Our bodies hurt, and some days we are prisoners. And so, God, as we pray for others, please hear us as we pray for ourselves. May we be healed, even as we strive to help others and our communities become whole. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray with these words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Go forth from this moment and follow Christ the King if you can. But if that's just not going to work for you, then just go where Jesus is. Go into the margins, meet the ones that Jesus loves, and discover that you are one of those people. Discover that you have so many siblings. Discover that you have so much to offer them. And together, you can discover wholeness, hope, peace, and love. Go forth and know that God, the Creator, is with you, that Jesus walks with us, leading us to amazing places, and know that the Holy Spirit absolutely surrounds and fills each and every one of us. Until we gather again, digitally or in person, amen.